This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, what's the easiest way to find out what channel the game's on? Sports on What? Subscribe to the Sports on What app and quickly find the channel for every provider, satellite, cable, or streaming. Sports on What knows the channel the game is on, and you can too. Download today.
99.9 KISW. We return to the men's room with Miles and Thrill.
Our question, how did the weather do you dirty? 206-803-ROCK. I think we need to beam our satellites down to lovely Las Vegas, Nevada for our own Mike Hawk. Mike, how are you?
Doing great. How you doing, guys?
We're doing fantastic. How long have you been in that airport?
Thank God we never actually had to go to the airport. So at first we were, when we originally scheduled this thing, we were supposed to fly out right around 1:30 in the afternoon. Before we even fly down here, we got delayed out to around 3:20, 3:30, something like that. And since this morning, they have continued to push our flight out to where now we are not flying out at 3:20. We're flying out somewhere around 7:20, 7:30 in the evening.
Do you honestly believe that's going to happen?
Yeah.
They said, do you believe you're going to make it out?
No, God, no. I think we're staying the night tonight.
I would, honest to God, don't sit around and wait. I would just maybe make some plans. Have your bag pack if you need to, but for the most part,
they're smart because they're just sitting at the hotel. They never went.
I know.
We never actually made it out to the airport. We currently have our bags sitting with the hotel just waiting for us for when it's time for us to actually get to the airport. But we are at the point right now exercising options to just say screw it, find a flight for the morning, stay the night, one more night. And the thing is, it's beautiful here. It's clear skies, right around 60 degrees. It's great. The problem is, back home kind of sucks. So we can't fly in right now.
Yeah. Well, no, man. And here's the thing. So they keep delaying your flight, and because Ted told us about it earlier today. And we were like, based on the weather forecast that they have for Seattle and all the way down to San Francisco, basically, like, it's only going to get worse for about the next 36 hours. So, like, if they're already delaying it, there's nothing in the forecast that says, this would be a better time to fly.
My money says San Francisco's got some flight delays. So does Portland.
I would guess
anything
so.
Anything north of San Francisco is probably dealing with the same thing.
I mean, Mike, you're in a little bit of luck.
Anything that we have when it comes to getting flights out of here, we have jumpers that are going through San Francisco. So that's good to know that we just need to avoid that altogether and just see if we can't fly direct back to Seattle.
Dude, and tomorrow, honestly, like, I don't know what's going on with that storm, but, like, I'm looking at the weather right now. Tomorrow during the day doesn't look that bad here. Like, windy, okay, but no rain.
So here's the thing. I'm so glad that I have such a workplace that's okay with taking things over. However, I need to apologize to you, Ted, because I know that you're taking over with everything that I got going on. You've been an absolute champion for everything that I've got and covering my back this entire time. I might need you to take over one more day there, brother.
Yeah, I only threatened to spike a computer once.
That's true. Only once that I heard.
Mike, were you in leaving Las Vegas mode? I mean, had you put the hurting on to the point where when you woke up this morning?
Can't wait to go home,
you think,
man.
Like, thank God, man. I don't know if I could do that one more day, and here you are, and now you got to do it one more day.
I mean, working with you, Jamokes, enough, I am okay with putting on one more day of just throwing down and drinking like crazy. Attaboy. The problem is just not knowing whether or not we're actually going to leave today or tomorrow.
So does that affect how much alcohol you're consuming?
No,
so in other words,
no,
like,
it's not.
In case
I'm 3 sheets right now as we speak. This is the drunkest I've been on the air, and I was wasted at Black Raven. Like, I am hammered right now.
Did you win any money?
I did. So here's the thing. I got up, like, I can't sleep past 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning because I have a dog to walk. And for whatever reason, my body won't let me sleep beyond that point. And so I've been downstairs just reading a book, you know, sitting in front of the big screen that they got down here. And I got to burn my ass a couple days ago to go into the Caesar Sportsbook and put money on the Seahawks. But I knew that the Seahawks were playing the 49ers. Like, look, I root for my boys. I will talk them up all day long. There's a good chance we're not going to win this game. Screw it. Let me put $20 down. Guys, I won $63
all
on
right.
the
Seahawks
today
all
on that major comeback.
Yeah.
I'm stoked on that. I mean, you bet I'm putting it on the tables right now.
Did anything memorable happen on your Las Vegas getaway?
Oh, she'd hate for me to tell you this, but unfortunately, here we go. So it is the wife's 30th birthday right now, and so this trip is for her more than for me.
Clearly.
And over in the Luxor, there is this adult play place, and it is 21 plus. No kids are allowed in there, but it's got a lot of kid style games for adults that are in there, and that includes a big old bouncy maze that's in there. It's not a bouncy house; it's a bouncy maze. So we're in there, and I'm just being a raucous SOB, and I'm double bouncing everybody that's around there. Eventually, her aunt tackles her down just because she loses balance, falls into my wife. And the two of them land on the ground. My wife is now bleeding from the face. She has now got a black eye.
All right.
And that kind of ended events for the night because my dumb ass was just bouncing them like crazy out there. And that kind of called it for last night. So good news is I didn't stay up too terrible late last night. So I've got a little energy left for
so
today.
So your girl on her 30th birthday got a shiner from you, essentially, and her aunt?
That is absolutely correct.
All right, now, okay,
she got a shiner for me on her 30th birthday.
Now, have you guys gone out in public together since this happened? Have you played on this at all?
Oh, absolutely. We have. She's got the big glasses going on. She's trying to find the opportune moment to pull it off to show that she's got it going on. We just don't know how advantageous it's going to get. I think I have to leave her in order for that to be that to be for our benefit.
It's not going to look good for you, brother.
Well, just
like if you, when that. You do finally get on a plane, I'm just going to say this: if she takes off her glasses on a plane and she asks for a drink, she will get a drink. If you ask for a drink, they're going to tell you they can't serve you.
You should play this. You should play this out. Go to the bar. She sits down. You know what I mean. Takes her glasses off. And he asked her if she would like something to drink, and you just turn to the bartender and go, "I'll speak for her." and then you order. If she starts to talk, just say something like, "I told you what happens. I told you what'll happen. You shut up."
And black eyes, like my buddy just got one, and I told him, he's like, "I'm just tired of people asking me about it." I go, "It's a black eye.
It's a black eye.
Everybody's like, what happened?
Because
if it's a dude, the assumption is that if it's a fight, right? If a woman has one, who are you dating? Mm-hmm. That's the first thing. Yeah. Who are you with?
Or if she's sitting someplace.
The SOB that put this on you.
I'll beat his ass.
If she's sitting at the bar by herself and you're meeting her later, just come up with a bunch of flowers. Like, go buy flowers in the gift shop and just set them aside her and then have her sit there with her arms folded, you see. Just like this, you know what I mean? And just kind of sit back and look at you and go, "You think that's all it's going to take? You think that's it? Think you can just apologize with that?
Can I get you a coffee, honey?"
That's
right. Honestly.
I didn't mean it.
Switch seats with her mom.
I know. Open that mouth one more time. You look like a raccoon.
I've been having a great time down here, boys. I miss you like crazy. It's beautiful out here. I'm ready to be back home, but I've been having a great time down here.
I don't believe you're going to be, man. I think
you got another day under your belt, bro.
I would go down to the front desk and see if you can't make some arrangements. They still got a room available.
That's such a shame. Look, I've been stalled in Houston. I've been stalled in the Carolinas. I've been stalled in Florida. I've been stalled in San Antonio, Texas. I got to say, as far as places that I have been delayed, not to mention not having ever gone to the airport yet today, I'm okay with being stalled out at Las Vegas.
Is there one more place you wanted to go eat that you didn't get a chance to go eat? Is there one more thing that you can do? You know what I mean?
Someone from the text line says, "Tell Mike to go to Miguel's Tequila Bar at the South Point Casino."
Miguel's Tequila Bar, and that sounds like my speed right there.
Did you
tell her we'll do anything I tell her?
Did you ever make it down to Fremont?
No, we did not make
the
Fremont.
Dude, there
that
you
might
go.
Actually be on the docket. Yeah, if we man. Go one more night, we might actually
Seriously.
Make it down there.
Take an Uber, get down to Fremont, man. Have a good time. They've got a zip line that runs all the way down the
he's
middle.
Done, he's done the zip line.
Oh, yeah, you know. You know. That's
I right. say you go get a $60 hamburger. Cash your winnings.
They got a Morton's in Fremont. You can stop in, get a nice steak down there.
I have been to two restaurants by Bobby Flay so far on this trip. I'm a little bit tapped out when it comes to money. However, you know what? I might be able to make it down to Fremont.
Yeah, you get your $63
yeah,
from
Fremont.
The Seahawks.
It's a place to go.
Fremont's a little bit cheaper than the Strip, that's for sure.
I think you got a better chance of winning money when you gamble down there, too.
You do. They don't pay out as much, but they pay more often.
It seems
I'm teaching them how to play the table game, so we might have to see if we can make a little bit of extra money before we come home.
Oh, there you go.
Okay.
Yeah.
And no matter what, you should do roulette and just always bet on black and then point at her eye.
Mm-hmm. That's a fact. That's a fact. That's all I ever do, Steve.
Yeah.
You want to bet on black again, woman?
That's right.
Go ahead.
Bet on black.
Last time she did that, it was red. Can't you see? See what happens? All right, brother. Good luck.
Good luck, Mike.
All right, love you guys.
Have see you
later. See
you, man.
See you later.
Good times.
Dude, he's not wrong. If you're going to be stuck somewhere... Like, I volunteered to get off a flight once. It's like, first class ticket tomorrow and a free night in Vegas. I was like, oh.
Well, but if you're not there for 2 or 3 days.
He's there with his mother-in-law, so Mike doesn't do all the things that we do. So when I need to leave Vegas, like, I need to leave Vegas. We've all consumed roughly the same amount of alcohol, but obviously there are plenty of illegal narcotics in my system as well. And at that point, like, I need to go home.
Well, the problem
so
is,
I get his position,
the, problem is the night
cool.
before, whatever drugs you have, you got to do them.
Oh, yeah.
So you're not really prepared for the fact that, you know, there's
now
another
you're delayed.
Day. Right. Now you did all that. You really didn't need to do all that.
Yeah. The last time we were there.
You got nothing, but yeah. You still got another day, and you just feel like garbage.
Last time we were there, it was a show. There was a little contraband left, and I'm like, man, I can't let this go to waste. And everyone had done their best to help reduce this particular stash, and I gave it the old college try until like 4:30 in the morning. Get to the airport, and, like, I am completely wired, man. I am out of my mind crazy because I did more of this than I normally would. But I'm trying to get rid of it. By the way, did not get rid of all of it. Just put it in the top drawer of the
right near the Bible.
Hotel. Yeah, next to the Bible. But I will say, if they told me my flight was delayed, I probably would have thrown myself out of a window.
That was the
slowest.
Yeah.
Like, I have to get home,
that
man.
That was the slowest chewed Burger King hamburger, cheeseburger in that airport down by the Alaska terminal that I've ever housed. It's like... like I can't even chew.
Yeah,
like,
it was.
All right, forget the drugs, just the booze alone in Vegas.
Oh,
I've sat at that same terminal.
It's so quiet,
struggling.
And
but I will say,
sweaty.
Last time I went, I was there literally 24 hours to go see Dead & Company. That was the nicest time I ever had at the airport. But we party, we hung out, but like we weren't like hurting.
Well, you didn't
sure.
kill yourselves.
Yeah,
right. So
I mean,
then
two
the next
3 days,
yeah,
I am ready to go.
Oh, I'm with you. If I spend three or four nights. I mean, they were making fun of me after the F1 race because we had watched football all day and this and that. And then that night, everybody was going to some club. I was like, I'm staying in. And, like, I remember, like, I fell asleep on the couch. They get back at, like, 3 in the morning. They're like, oh, Smith's ready to roll. I'd already showered. Bags were packed next to the door because I was like, I need to get the hell out of this town.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. How did the weather do you dirty? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Billy. Welcome to the men's room.
Well, gentlemen, about 3 years ago, I don't know if you remember when there was a pretty big heat wave over on the East Coast, my cousin and I decided we were going to drive over to Ohio to go see the Gathering of the Juggalos.
Oh, my.
And, yeah. And there's a lot more of the story than the weather, but we'll just stick to that part, I guess. So, day one... It was 107 degrees, and it just was awful. Just like you hate the cold thrill, I hate the heat. It was not my weather. So we pretty much just sweated the whole day, just waiting for, like, the festivities to go on and everything. And Juggalos aren't the greatest people in the world to just spend the whole day with, let alone 3 or 4 days.
Are you a Juggalo?
A closet Juggalo.
All right, closet Juggalo, okay.
I've seen ICP 10 times in concert. Great show every single time. So we figured the Gathering would be fun. It was not fun. Like I said, it's 107, sweating the whole time. And so by the time the sun starts to go down, we started to kind of wander around a bit. Took a few mushrooms and started just, you know, enjoying the day. And heading back to our campsite, I see these clouds coming through. I was like, whoa, those are pretty cool. And I just seen some lightning strikes in. It looks like that's even cooler.
but it's rolling over us. And when you're at an outdoor festival, lightning strikes, they shut the show down, right? So it just starts crazy wind, thunder, lightning, storm. It's shuts down the show, so juggalos are left to their own devices. The worst people with no rules at an outdoor festival. So, I mean, tents were being tossed everywhere. It was just a nightmare. So the next morning, I get up and I got to pee really bad. So I try to go find the porta potties. And I hit about 20 of them before I found one I could actually use because they were covered in poop, used tampons, and other bodily fluids. So it was just nasty.
What town was that in?
Just east of Columbus.
Okay, so you're on 70, basically, between there and Pittsburgh.
It's called, Legend Valley is the name of the place. It's a pretty cool venue. You know, you got giant dinosaurs, so you walk around on mushrooms. It's pretty cool.
Okay.
But other than juggalos. But, yeah, so that storm just, you know, the juggalos lit some porta-potties on fire. They turned over some cars. The next day was so hot again, it was either spend another day with the juggalos in the heat or just call our loss and go home. So we ended up just driving right back home after one day.
Yeah, I would too. That would be my vote.
Yeah, that point.
Man, sorry, guys. I am.
Once the cars start getting turned over, you're like, this is more than I want.
I can't drink any more Fagos.
God, which year was it? Was it 94, 95? I guess Lollapalooza over in the racetrack of West Virginia.
It's the dog
track. Dog track?
Yeah, dog track, sorry.
Charlestown, but I can't remember the name.
Yeah, Charlestown Racetrack.
Charlestown Racetrack.
Racetrack, yeah.
Yeah, that's the name of it.
Went to my first Lollapalooza, right? Great show. It was, let's see, Rage Against the Machine Open, followed by Tool, Fishbone, Alice in Chains, Primus. Great show. But it was about 100 degrees outside, and that is what it is, that part of the country. You kind of know that's going to be the case. But there were two things. One, they did not let you bring your own water in.
Fertile.
And so it's like, all right, fine. You know this is going to overcharge for water when you get there. They ran out of water after the second act. Tool was the second band. So it opened with Rage Against the Machine. They're followed by Tool. Then they do this announcement before the third band goes on. This is an all-day thing, mind you. We have run out of water. I cannot explain just how the mood changed. 100,000 people there, whatever the hell it is. They damn near burned this place to the ground. So they had to do another announcement that says, we are now getting trucks to ship water in. So people are like, okay. But that still took like an hour and a half. So by the time they get back with water, people are already passed out. People are in bad places. A lot of drugs have been going down too. We're staying hydrated is important. So then they announce we do have water. And now there's this mass crush at all the places that sell water to get water, and people are buying as much as they can. They were selling it, I want to say it started at $12 a bottle. When they made that announcement, once again, I thought this place was going to burn to the freaking ground. Within about 45 seconds, I think they got it down to $8 for a bottle of water. And everybody spent all of their money on water. But then the beer vendors are upset because no one's spending money. I'm like, you needed to rehydrate.
The beers are $4.
So now, right, the beer is cheaper than the water.
93.
But everyone needed water because, again, it was that hot and it had been so long where you didn't have any. And it wouldn't let you walk back into the racetrack. So people are like, dude, I have a cooler in my car with water. And they're like, look, if you go out and get it, you can get the water, but you can't come back into the thing.
And that was part of the issue with that Woodstock in 99.
Where everything
the famous one where they burn everything was because they ran out of drinking water.
And that, right, it becomes an issue. Man, when it's that hot. So what was cool about this whole show, though, so now everyone has the exact same drinking water bottle. So by the time Alice in Chains hits the stage, and I always remember this, Lane is still alive, and he walks out, he has this big pot leaf necklace on. I'm pretty sure they were stoned because it was a really good show, but they seemed very focused and chill, if you know what I mean. But the sun started going down. So all of the empty water bottles, they all went up in the air. It was like, you know, people knocking balloons around. But the way the spinning bottles caught the sunlight, like I remember the band, like, so Lane, as the band's playing, he's supposed to come back in, start singing the next verse. He just let it go, and he's just staring at all these water, I mean, thousands of them. Just rotating in the sky, look like fireflies. It's just empty plastic bottles. So oddly enough, that's one of the coolest moments that I've had with the band, just watching this kind of thing go on. But it only happened because they ran out of water in the first freaking place on one of the hottest goddamn days I have ever been outdoors.
So, right. Heat, humidity, right? Like, I'm a college football nerd. A big part of college football is the traditions, right?
Yeah.
Right? Like, Washington State and LSU are two of the only schools that have, like, double pulled field goal uprights.
Yeah, yeah.
They run through them, this and that. So Tennessee, when they come out, their band gets together and they make this giant T and they run through it, right? So if you're a college football person, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's like watching that damn duck come out on the motorcycle. So we go down there. It's Labor Day weekend. It is the hottest damn day you've ever been.
Right.
They're playing Montana. Montana, not a bad program, but Tennessee's going to crush them.
Sure.
Montana, this is the first game of the year. Same thing, right? The whole thing is, we got to see them run through this tee. So as we're walking up, it's been hot all day. My buddy Bernie goes, Teddy, storm's coming in. And you can just see these clouds rolling in. It's all aluminum benches. The game gets suspended before they even kick it off for like 2 hours. Maybe either way.
But it's still hot.
So you can't, but again, you can't leave the stadium. So everybody's just on the concourse. You're dripping sweat. It's gross. Game, they're going to, storms are gone. They're going to do the thing. But it's too late. They have only not run through the tee twice in 50 years. And I was there for one of them.
Did they not do it just because of the time?
Yeah, it was too late. They were like, they're not going to run through the tee. They're just going to come out and play. And like, it was like,
that's why I'm here.
Yeah, like, and everybody in Knoxville's like, here to see them run through the tee. Like they talk, right, as much as they love football, they love the fact that they run through that damn tee. And it's super cool the way the band interweaves and this and that. And we had bought seats behind that section.
Just to see
behind that. The tee.
You know what? The bands need to get more credit in the heat too, man. Because the players, obviously the players are hot, but, you know, they have the cooling machines and all that. And these bands walk out in those dumbass wool uniforms, right? And I'm like, dude, it is 102 degrees outside. They're just out there playing their little asses off. I'm like, how do you do this? Right, like I said, the players, we know the players are hot. Everyone in the stands are hot. The difference is, like I said, the players have the coolers blowing on in the band. You're sitting in a band section covered in wool. I mean, think about that.
And what about the mascots?
And the mascot! Think about that ass.
How did the weather do you dirty? 206-803-ROCK.
99.9 KISW.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Return to the men's room with Miles and Thrill.
It is our random question, 206-803-ROCK.
Random.
Hello, Wes. Welcome to the men's room.
Herky.
Oh, the house is on fire.
The house is on fire. Get my Nintendo game, Herky.
Yes.
Everyone smiles at this tragic story.
It's terrible.
It really is a horrible story.
You don't know the end of the movie on that. The movie does not end good. It's like Old Yeller.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, no.
Marley and me, I don't know.
All right, let's see.
Oh, God.
What would you say is your favorite type of liquor, favorite brand? If you could go out and get a bottle of something right now and price wasn't an issue, what would you pick up?
Oh, price isn't an issue? I can remember that I drank Dom Perignon the day that I graduated college, and I might have had some mushrooms, and then I walked home in the rain, and I had the best night of my life where I was just like no shirt on, walking home like I felt so great.
You didn't look so good. I mean, it was not a good look for anybody who passed by.
Do you think the mushrooms or the Dom contributed more to you feeling great? Because as I'm listening to this, I'm like, to me, this sounds like the shrooms dominated the Dom.
The shrooms dominated the Dom. But, I mean, literally, if I could go out and get something, maybe some Vivu Cloquet, some champagne, that's what I had with my wife on our wedding day. So,
are you a big champagne?
Vouv is very good.
Yeah, it is. Are you a big champagne guy?
No, my wife is. I'm not a big champagne guy, but I mean, it makes her happy, and so that would make me happy.
And it has alcohol in it.
I gotta be honest with you. I don't know that I could tell the difference between a bottle of Brut's, Dom Perignon, Prosecco.
If Brut's a style.
Okay, but if you put them all on, I wouldn't be able to differentiate, which is which, I don't think.
From cheap champagne to good champagne?
I don't know.
I think you would.
So you said you worked at a liquor store.
I worked at a liquor store in college, and we would do tastings on Sundays, and they would be like, okay, well, so the bottle is like half empty, take it home. And so would pick three bottles and just take it home. And I took home a bottle of Dom, and I was like, it's pretty awesome, but I'm not going to spend $300.
Okay, other than champagne, what other liquors do you like?
So Matthew McConaughey has a, Pantalones. He has a tequila. That's really good. Terramana's really good. Buffalo Trace is one of my favorites.
Me and the Buffalo have had a couple good nights together.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't know if that's an accurate statement. We've had some nights together.
We've had nights together.
I don't know how good
truly,
or bad
also,
they may
also,
have been.
It's also Bison Trace, and Ted will attest to that.
Well, going back to the champagne thing, right? I like champagne. Most of what we drink, again, is sparkling white wine.
Right.
You can get away with, for mimosas, drinking crappy stuff, but I've only had a few very good bottles. Vouv is one of those, right? A couple of my friends are very big champagne people. You could tell the difference. Or once I had a girlfriend get me a bottle of Dom P, this black label that was $100-some. And honestly, I was like, do I have to save it? She was like, no. We just sat there and drank it one night, eating pizza. But
champagne and pizza.
All right. Yeah, it was Dom and pizza.
Well, yeah. And
gotta,
then liquor wise.
You got to step up your pizza.
Yeah,
game
but
on that
I know at that point we
can't
need
just
a better
be a regular
pizza.
Old Domino's.
I really like Rise. That's part of the reason I went to sleep early Saturday.
I'd say you just had a conversation.
I know.
About
it's
that.
Funny I said that.
They seem to be smooth.
Rise are smooth. Yeah. I'm there with you because when I was younger, I did not like Rise, right? And then something happens and you get a little more adult. And I want to say maybe it was VD. Somebody in the last 4 or 5 years was like, man, just try it. And you're right, man. It was like a game changer. This is delicious.
I never tried new Dom Perignon. I know for a fact because I wouldn't remember the occasion. I have tried it before. I have tried Pappy Van Winkle, the 20-whatever-year-old.
Is it worth all the hype, the Pappy?
You know, I am not I don't know enough about it to know how good it is. It's smooth. It goes down easy. But so do a lot of other things. So I don't know, again, if I can say, all right, is this better than just a 12-year-old Weller, which is the same brand? I'm sure there is, but it's more of the allure of that brand.
It is super good, but I think price point wise, you can find a lot of other things.
Okay, maybe that's more what I'm asking.
Very good. It's rare.
I mean, look, let's be honest. Again, this is RIP, but it's kind of on Anthony Bourdain. All right? Pappy is not an old brand. It has an old label. He just went down there, did one of his shows, and it was just starting to be aged enough that they were starting to bottle it.
Okay.
He went on and on about it. Then it became this cultural thing where everybody was into bourbons and whiskeys, specifically the Pappy Van Winkle. Then you mix in the fact we're still not positive who stole all of it.
Right.
So it's almost become, I think Miles is correct, it's you want it just because to say you've had it?
Sure.
Right. So it is, don't get me wrong, it's delicious.
Now, when you buy it at a restaurant, it's expensive. But the price point on it, if you buy it from a bottle, I won a lottery one year in BevMo.
Right, so you have the opportunity to buy it.
I got the Rip Van Winkle. So the bottle that I won was the bottle that was the least of their lines.
All right,
based on the age. And when I went to BevMo, I was like, oh, man, this is probably going to be a little pricey, but I won the lottery. I'm going to pick it up. It was $26.
That's it?
Oh, all right. Yeah.
So they just basically, it's priced to what it should be, but it's...
Unless you buy it at a restaurant.
Unless you buy it at a steakhouse, and all of a sudden, they've got them all.
Well, that's,
and
man.
I mean, VD, I have sat at his house before, and he has enough stuff that he can, like, he's like our buddy Rob down at the Met. Like, he can walk you through, like, what you're drinking.
Yeah.
And taste the different notes and this and that. But, yeah, it is tough. I will say that, like, my brother lives in Northern Virginia. Last time I was there, me and my buddy, they just said, hey, go get a couple bottles of bourbon at the liquor store. And you forget when you're that close to the South. Like, the guy's like, great news. We had a bourbon drop today. Okay. And I mean, he sat there for 20 minutes and finally we're like, okay. And then he's like, you can't buy that. I'm like, well, what can we buy? And he's like, this one and this one. And everybody's like, this is amazing.
I know a couple people. I know a couple people who've done the bourbon trail in Kentucky with a group of friends and said that was a great experience.
Is that like an organized trip or?
It can be. Or you can just do it on your own. It's okay. like a wine tour. Yes. Okay. You can get in a van with a bunch of chicks and go up to Woodinville. Or you can go to each individual one, hopefully with a designated driver. Because that stuff ends fast. I've seen some crazy stuff go down as far as...
Oh, sure.
I have a case of wine that was the last stop on the entire tour, and maybe the people who were buying it were pretty tore up.
Yeah, they're hammered and buy all the
so
crap.
Then, you know, a month goes by and they crack one of these bottles like, this wasn't as good as I remember it.
Of course it wasn't.
Because you didn't remember anything. You just bought a case of it.
My wife keeps trying to get me to go on a wine tour, and I'm like, babe, look, the Tulip Festival, wine tour, there are certain things that have zero appeal to me, and those are two of them, all right? So now there's a distillery up in Woodinville. And, of course, Black Raven's up there. So now she's trying to tie all of those together and still trying to get me to go, right? So she's like, look, we can do wine. We can do bourbon. You can go to Black Raven. I said, why don't we just go to Black Raven? I'll drink beer. We'll buy wine and then go the hell home.
Right.
Why do you insist I don't want to go.
I just need the beer.
Call Ian over at Pacific Northwest Tours of Bourbon.
You could do
that.
You
know what? That wouldn't be a bad idea. Yeah. I just don't want to spend a day doing it. I'm like, look, I would rather just sit at one bar and get absolutely hammered, because the end result of your wine tour or bourbon tour or beer tour is you're going to be hammered. And that's cool. I'm down with that. But, like, I would rather just sit at the bar with my buddies and just get drunk. And here's the thing. I can order you a glass of wine. In fact, I can order you, like, seven different glasses of wine. Each one can be different. Do your wine tour. I will keep drinking different beers, and then I will do different shots of different whiskeys and bourbons.
That's one of the reasons I swore off Chateau St. Michel, but I'll go next year now that they have Black Raven at the facility, because when I did go, I did want to see the bands. I did want to see Earth, Wind & Fire and all these guys.
Sure.
But I'm also at a concert, and I want to have something to drink. So I'll have a glass of wine and go, you know what? This isn't too bad. Then I'll have a couple more, and then the next day I wake up and go like, oh, my God.
That's the worst hangover.
I thought I could drink, and I can't. I feel awful today. Mm-hmm. But now that they have beer, I'm like, I am much more inclined to go. It's very difficult to sit through a concert, not have a cocktail, what everyone else is drinking, having fun. All right, I'll drink your wine.
I go back and forth on the tours. Because there's sometimes you just want to sit there at a bar. But it is fun, and it gives you, like, other activity. But I will, you know, because, like, generally when we go on, like, those football trips, we try to do the same thing just with ourselves, right? Like, we try to hit, like, three or four bars the first day just to get a sense of the town. Sure. Or, like, when we were in Milwaukee, like, we didn't have tickets to that baseball playoff game. So we went to some brewery there, did that tour. Like, so we kind of added in an event to kind of, because also, it was just the four of us sitting in one bar. We'd be drunk by noon watching football.
Yes.
I mean, I went to Wrigleyville and the Cubs were playing, and it was packed, and I had a blast.
Whoa. Wrigleyville's awesome. Right. That's another great area. You could hit three or four bars going two blocks.
Yeah,
yes,
easily.
I did. It was a wonderful, wonderful afternoon. Reason we ask, what is your favorite type of liquor or the brand that you prefer? As they say, there are a ton of celebrities who have decided to expand their horizons and enter the spirits industry. And Guy Fieri and Sammy Hagar have done exactly that with Santo Tequila. Unfortunately, the company has suffered a bit of a setback. Now, as they note, George Clooney, he's got a tequila. Michael Jordan, believe it or not, has a tequila that explains his eyes. Dwayne Johnson has an excellent tequila.
Yeah.
And just some of the many famous people who've decided to enter the tequila game lately. But Sammy was incredibly ahead of the curve.
Yeah, well, Cabo Wabo.
Yeah, he was basically, he launched his own brand in 1996, Cabo Wabo, which was eventually sold to Campari for $80 million. And in 2017, Hagar decided, okay, I want to do tequila again. So he went back to the well, and he teamed up with Adam Levine to launch Santo. Now, that brand welcomed in Guy Fieri when, I guess, Levine sold off his portion of the tequila to basically just do his own individual upstart without any partners.
So now Adam Levine, you're saying he is wants to solo.
I want my own tequila bottle, and I'm not sharing. So basically, Guy Fieri jumped in and said, "I would like to own the rest of the portion of Santos."
Out of the three of them, Adam Levine's the one I want to hang out with the least.
I agree.
Yes,
I'm just thinking the same thing.
Yeah. As they say, the rocker and the flavor, the mayor of Flavortown, have slowly but surely gained a foothold in the competitive market. With the help of their Blanco, Reposado, and Añejo varieties. Now, Santo, they pump all of their stuff out of a distillery in Jalisco. But things took an unfortunate turn after the last batch of imports. According to People magazine, two trucks that were carrying 24,000 bottles of Santo were hijacked in a double heist staged in Laredo, Texas, earlier this month. With the president of Santo estimating the haul was about worth over $1 million.
Damn.
Details are a bit scarce. Fieri said he was told that tequila had been lifted last week after the trucking company tasked with transporting the bottles began investigating unspecific red flags that might have been raised a few days prior. He did tell the outlet the distillery is on a 24/7 schedule right now in hopes of filling the void. But you got to remember, Añejo's aged.
Right.
Yeah, so a lot of these things are not just going to happen overnight. But he says this, whatever's on the shelf is all people are going to get. So if you want to buy some for the holiday season, buy what you can find now as we attempt to weather the... And this is a big time for them. So they're kind of... Sure. This was like their big haul. All of that was for the United States.
Well, generally, like, when you first asked this question, my initial thought was just Jameson. Because generally, if I get a shot in a bar, it's either going to be Jameson or Jack.
Yeah.
But... You're right. If I was going to buy a celebrity liquor, Christmas time would be the time I would do it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's funny with the tequilas. When one of the times we went down to Mexico, my wife and we were just crushing tequila. The bartender finally said, "Man, you realize almost no one in Mexico drinks tequila." We're like, "What?" He goes, "U.S. made tequila a huge industry for us because you guys are drinking the living piss out of it, so we produce it. And it's not that people here don't drink it, but it's... We will drink Mezcal over tequila like any day of the week." They said the way we perceive tequila here is like the way we look at like malt liquor in the U.S. He's like, "So it's not bad." He's like, "There's nothing wrong with it." But so I said, "Well, what's the difference?" And he said, "Here's one thing." And this proved to be true. He said, "Look, you can get hammered on Mezcal, get hammered on tequila." He goes, "The difference with Mezcal, there's no impurities in it." So he said, "When you guys get up tomorrow morning," he's encouraging us basically to drink as much Mezcal as we can. And we're like, "In." And we got plenty hammered. He said, "When you get up tomorrow, one pint of water, you're going to feel fine." Now, I didn't believe him because I'm like, "Well, epic. He's going to keep feeding us Mezcal. Let's do this." Sure enough, woke up the next morning, felt like absolute trash. We both guzzled down a glass of water. We were fine.
Well, it's the same thing with champagne.
What, like, versus sparkling wine or whatever?
Right. Most people drink cheap sparkling white wine. Right. That's why you feel awful in the morning.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
If you drink actual champagne, and generally good champagne, like, to me, the buzz is a little different and you'll feel better. Now, let me ask you guys this. Does who owned the brand affect if you like the product? Like, there is a product I like. I won't say what it is or who owns it. But it bugs me because some of the people that own it, I don't agree with a ton of their stuff, but I love their product.
That definitely comes into play. Like, look, there's nothing inherently wrong with your product. You just find out, I don't know, who the company is or the owner is. And, like, I just don't want to give you my money, right? And it's not like they're going to go broke anytime soon. I just want to know that I have not contributed to this. But sometimes it sucks. Because, like, man, I really like blank, but the owner is blank. And I just, I can't do it, man.
That's why I always liked to fly Virgin Air back in the day. Because I thought, look, Richard Branson... He's a billionaire, but I just like what he was doing with his money.
He did things with his money that I would do if I'm a billionaire.
He's more of a philanthropist.
Yeah.
You know, as far
and
as,
has fun.
Yeah. And that was basically.
Like, that's the whole thing, man. Like, I'm not trying to change the world. Right. I just want to have a good freaking time.
Well, and he had an airline that, like, normal people could get on. Like, none of us are paying for a ticket to go to space with Bezos.
Right. Exactly.
No. Right? Like, Virgin Air, it's like, yeah, I love taking that to San Francisco.
Well, you can also take his plane into space.
Right.
So he's got one of those now, which is basically the. You can put more people on the plane.
But he's been working on it longer than any of the other ones.
But it's basically more of a commercial-style flight.
Yeah.
Like, they get you up in there, and then they say, okay, unbuckle your seatbelts, and you float around for 2 minutes, and they bring your ass back down.
I don't think it is literally only, like, 2 minutes.
Yeah, it's not crazy, but it is attainable. I mean, it's not, comparatively speaking, to the other private
companies. Yeah, SpaceX and what, Blue Origin or whatever.
They can take you up there.
I think Blue Origin, right, that's Bezos.
And that's Bezos, yeah.
Yeah. Because remember, he was paying, it was like, yeah, you could pay money and go to space for a day. But again... Yeah. At least with Virgin Air, it was like, no, it's just a regular, awesome airline.
It's a great airline.
They treated you like an adult. I just was having this conversation like a week ago with somebody. We were talking, it was last weekend. We were like, oh my God. When that was running up and down the West Coast, it was just awesome.
And it's the first airline, because airlines, to me, they are more of a commodity than a product, right? In other words, it's like Q-tips. Do you care if it's a Q-tip? Do you care if it's just a cotton swab? Probably not. And that's the way airlines were. Like, I didn't care what airline it was, just what time do you take off? Can you get me to the place? Then once Virgin was on the scene, I'm like, oh, no, I will book Virgin specifically. Like, that is a product I want to use.
Yeah. Right. And I feel the same way about Payne Field in general. If I can fly out of Payne Field instead of avoiding SeaTac and all that crazy, what's Payne Field got? Four gates? But if they can get me to Vegas or to San Diego or whatever their West Coast destinations are without me having to get there 2 hours early, and I can just sit at the bar and get like a Beecher's cheese plate and just kind of chill out for 2 minutes and basically board in 5 seconds. Like, I'm flying out of there every time, just based on convenience. More of the Random Question coming up, 206-803-ROCK.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric I4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.